Welcome to the Extra Pieces. I'm Richard from The Rambling Brick and...
I'm Jay from Jay's Brick Blog.
Welcome to our little podcast and come and join us while we talk about Lego sets, things happening in the Lego fan community and pieces we've stepped on in the middle of the night. G'day Jay, how are you going?
Hello, it's been a while, Richard.
Oh, look, it has. It has. There have been all sorts of reasons. I'm sure we could come up with lots of excuses.
Oh, I was on holiday. It was the best.
Well, you know, there's one sort of excuse, and then a whole lot of stuff got announced and required a little bit of processing. I tried catching up on some reviews. I may have failed. And time's gone past, and now it is May. We are recording this on May the 2nd. Which means a couple of things since our last episode. One, we've passed our third birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday to us. 1st of April was when we put our first pilot episode to air, as initially sort of trying to make it sound like a joke, but then we ended up keeping going. So that's all right. Yeah, but it's been a busy month with set announcements. You kind of think May is Star Wars.
No, this year May is space. It's not just Star Wars, it is space. There is
just so much, yeah, as you say, there's just so much space happening, isn't there? If you're in the rest of the world, you've got the Series 26 collectible minifigures.
Oh, those are so good. It's I'm still very upset that in Australia, for some reason, we're still getting a 1 month delay on collectible minifigures. Like, we are the only country in the world that is late with minifigures. I don't understand why. And yeah, everyone moves on by the time we get ours, which is maybe a good thing, maybe a bad thing. I don't know. But yeah, it's just a lot of FOMO at the moment.
Yeah, no, it's feeling a little bit overwhelming. I'll have to admit I'm always grateful for the fact that I've got a retailer whom I'm able to put in an order for a box or two. So I've put in an order for a box or two.
Is your retailer still taking orders?
I'm sure they are, because they haven't got supply yet.
Ah, very good. I might need a box or two myself. This is a very good series.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were sent some to review, and I appreciate you haven't had a chance to get completely through that yet. Were you sent a full box with three series, or were you sent one of the new boxes that seems to be the fashion in Europe where you get...
Yeah, it was one of those special Danish boxes where...
Where you get 12, the full set in one box.
Yeah, you get the whole set. So that was very nice. But on the, you know, what's in the box front, all the new CMFs, collectible minifigures, now feature the large... QR or like data matrix codes.
Yep.
And they've been the codes have been unlocked. So
there was a decision was made by the Lego group in response to fan feedback to make it so that it was possible, so that rather than every figure having exactly the same QR code, which was a very small matrix that just said this was produced last Thursday, there's now a larger code which also includes a number which corresponds to the actual figure that's included in the box. Huzzah. And several enterprising app makers have been able to lock onto this. So probably a bit under half of the world's shipment of Series 25 has this. Unfortunately, I'm yet to hear of anyone in Australia who's encountered Series 25 with the QR code on.
No, we got the first batch, which is all you know, which all has the smaller codes. But anecdotal evidence is that Series 26 is so far all large codes.
Yeah,
I have had one or two comments who've said that they found ones with small codes, but I've not seen any photographic evidence to suggest otherwise. So I think we are safe. So. And it's a pretty solid series, and it is, you know, if you're a space fan, especially if you are a fan of the classics, and by classics I mean Black Tron 2 Ice Planet, Emtron, you are going to want to, you know, scan away and army build. This is a really good series to army build with. There are lots of, like, the nostalgia is done right. But at the same time, they have some really interesting concepts, like Orion, which is like nearly an entirely transparent purple minifigure, which is a really well executed concept for a minifigure that's based on a constellation. So it's one of the most unique CMFs. And, you know, you get modern versions of some of the, you know, the best and most, you know, memorable space factions, from Ice Planet to Emtron,
Blacktron 2. We've had several versions of Blacktron 1 over the years, so I don't feel too put out about that. A little bit disappointed that Spireus and UFO didn't get a Guernsey.
No, there was an alien there, and I wish it had been a UFO, or at the very least, you know, alien, not Alien Conquest, although Alien Conquest would be quite nice, or like Galaxy Squad, which was, you know, Galaxy Squad is sort of like the, you know, the spiritual heir to the space teams of the, you know, mid to late 90s.
You can make the argument that the Bugoid, you know, the bug.
Yes.
Is in
Beetlezoid.
Fact.
It is a Beetlezoid.
Beetlezoid, I think, is probably a Galaxy Squad one. It does occur to me also, while we were just sort of going to get grumpy about Spireus, we were forgetting there for a moment that we did have
Major Kozlovsky.
Yeah, the reimagined head that appeared in Cyberdrone.
Cyberdrone, yeah.
And also in the Monkey Kid Lantern City.
Mm-hmm.
So Spireus has been remembered in recent years. So, you know, UFO or insectoids, there was the chance.
There was a chance. But anyway, there's still six odd months in the year left. So I don't think we're seeing the last of LEGO Space. Let's just put it that way.
No. I'm quite excited. Branko's been having a look at the Duplo space set, and he's been loving it. Just had a lot of fun putting together its different forms, and it's got flashing lights and looks like it's actually a lot of fun. Makes me wish I had a toddler around the house still.
Yeah. you are welcome to have mine if you really miss the toddler stage, because
I don't miss them that much. Besides,
And then May is like the big launch. A very unique thing about this month is that we are having a mid-month launch. Normally, for most months, we get the big sets all dropping at the first of the month, but because it's May, because of May the 4th, and because there's just a number of new Star Wars sets dropping on the 1st of May, LEGO have decided to push out the two big space-themed sets to the 15th of May, which is the NASA Artemis Space System, SLS, and the Milky Way LEGO art set, which is brilliant. So that looks pretty
special.
That's quite unusual to have a mid-month launch, but I think it's smart to space out the releases, and there's something else to look forward to at the middle of the month.
The other thing is that the LEGO, you know, at the risk of sounding cynical, the LEGO marketing machine is so dedicated to May the 1st hype, or May the 4th hype, which starts on May the 1st, and it the website strains, always strains on May the 1st anyway.
Yeah.
With the Star Wars stuff, without putting anything else there that other people might think about wanting.
Yeah, and I actually really like this. Like, it's slightly more annoying from a news reporting perspective, but I think it's a good thing because it gives these really like flagship big sets a lot more space to breathe. Like, for example, like in just rewinding to April, where the big launch of April was the Dungeons and Dragons set. You know, everyone went like crazy for it. But what also launched on the 1st of April as well was the Batman, the animated series, Gotham art set almost as well.
Yep.
And I felt like that was quite unlucky because, again, it was just overshadowed by D&D. Whereas if they had launched that mid-month after excitement of D&D was, you know, kind of wore off,
It certainly would have had the potential to be far more, perhaps be given a bit more love.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of like it. It seems that LEGO are experimenting with release, windows. The only other time this happens is on Black Friday, when we usually have like a big set launching on Black Friday. So
yeah.
Anyway, so I've built the Milky Way galaxy, and by I mean my daughter. She built like most of it, which was a lot of fun. It's a build together set, and there's a lot of greebling. There's a lot of colors. And the fun part is that when you kind of piece the art plates together, it's just like the most random selection of parts that you can imagine. And when you're piecing it together, it doesn't quite make sense. But at the end, when you kind of click it all together, you get this beautiful, very colorful 3D art piece. I have it hanging on the wall next to my wall map, which is quite nice. And yeah, I really like it.
I can see it while you're talking, but the people who are just listening to us cannot.
Yeah, just imagine it being somewhere there.
Yeah. It's just there above his left shoulder, if you're wondering, folks.
It is very eye-catching, much more visually interesting than the world map, because, you know, it's not just one-by-one round tiles.
No, it's got sort of a full range of small pieces of all sorts of different shapes.
Mm.
And
lots of fun, like, little, like, elements, and it's almost like a treasure hunt of sorts. Like when you're building the Milky Way, you like I found it quite enjoyable to like find like weird elements, like, oh, why is there a cup here, why is there a coffee cup in here, why is there a bicycle helmet, why is there a frog in here. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I think at the end, this is probably one of the better LEGO art sets. I would just place it just under Hokusai, The Great Wave, in terms of my favorite art sets, because it's just so visually distinct and colorful. I can see it being very, very popular.
I do think that the LEGO art sets always take on an extra lease of life when they're not a simple mosaic.
Hmm. I think they've definitely moved past the mosaic, like when they first launched with, like, you know, if you can remember, like the Beatles, Iron Man, that was a very, you know, very simple take on art. Whereas now they're like the Milky Way and even like Hokusai, for example, very abstract but innovative takes on, you know, what a typical like art piece is. And I think it's a great progression of the theme, and it shows that they're willing to take some pretty interesting risks.
I suppose as well as The Great Wave, we also saw this sort of thing with the Spider-Man art set last year as well. It'll be interesting to see what else we get from a LEGO art point of view this year, and see if it follows that sort of a design and pattern, or if it's back to being a regular mosaic. Anyway, we'll find out if one gets announced.
Yeah, we will find out indeed. And really enjoy it. And the Artemis SLS, that's more for your traditional like space fan. If you're into like NASA sets, then this is the set to get. It is much smaller than the Apollo 11 Saturn V rocket, which is huge. That's more of a, you know, this is a big rocket that you're building, whereas the Artemis SLS is more of a display piece. So it's scaled down very significantly. It is much smaller in height compared to the Saturn V.
There's about 20 centimeters or so in difference, I think, isn't there?
But on the plus side is you get the entire like space launch system as well.
Yeah, no, you get a gantry, which was certainly one of the more popular add-ons for a lot of people with regard to that original LEGO Ideas set.
Yes. And I think, like, visually, it is the absolute, like, correct choice, because the model is so much more, it's just so much richer. There are more things to look at, and, you know, it looks like a proper launch center, and it has very, very nice parallels to the early LEGO City space rocket launch set, which I love. And yeah, it's just a fun set. So if you remember the, I think the set number is 1682. It had the white, like, you know, space shuttle, and the red complex next to it. So yeah, I think it's a great homage to that. And yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a good set. But what kind of kills it is that, so it's a very nice looking display model when you look at it from afar. So, you know, it's quite impressive. It's got nice height. It's got an interesting silhouette. But when you look up close, that's where the polish just starts to fall away. And it's mostly because all the decorations, all the key decorations on the rocket itself are stickers.
They're all stickers.
Yeah, they don't look great. They do not look great. And yeah, it's quite mind-boggling. Like, a lot of people are going to naturally compare this to the Saturn V.
Yep.
Which is, you know, still to many people, their favorite LEGO set of all time. Like, it is the, you know, one of the best LEGO idea sets, one of the best LEGO space sets. You know, people really love the Saturn V. And the Saturn V,
it's I would say for me, yeah, it's like number two on my list of all time favorite builds.
It was only until recently that it got knocked off by Rivendell. So it lasted quite a while. And one of the most impressive things at the time was that all the elements were printed for the Saturn V. So even till this day, it looks great because all the decorations are printed. And I don't know, somehow they just cheaped out and decided to sticker the whole thing up, which is, I don't know, it's just disappointing because it's not a cheap set.
No.
Yeah. It is, you know, in dollar terms, it is much, much more than the Saturn V, you know, although you gotta take into account inflation and all of that. It's not a cheap set, so I feel like it's just one of those things that you just go, oh, this could have been a really easy set to recommend. This could have been a really enjoyable, well-rounded space set. But
yeah,
the stickers are just, you know, yeah, just disappointing.
I mean, at the end of the day, in Australia, it's a $450 set. That's only $50 shy of the Batman, $50 shy of Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is Dungeons and Dragons 500 or 600 in Australia?
Oh, I think it's six.
Oh, it's six. Yeah, so
it's 500.
500. So no, yeah, it's
we got very lucky with the Dungeons and Dragons set.
Well, yes, because we're paying $50 more for Artemis than the rest of the world is.
Yes,
but certainly the Saturn V, when it came out, was also globally acclaimed as presenting unbelievable value.
Yep.
Because it was like, it was $125 Australian dollars. Australian dollars. So those 1,969 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was certainly a very good value for money. And then when you coupled that with the top subject matter and the general craziness with the printing and the scale and the size, it was and the building techniques, it was just awesome.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. But look, just being realistic, it's a lot of like A4 nitpickiness to kind of pick on the stickers, because again, it's something that's only an issue if you look at it very closely. Like, if you're building it, you're always going to know that it's there. You had to apply the stickers, and that's always going to mar the experience. But as a display model, something that you're going to look at from afar, like, the stickers don't really make that much of a difference. It's still a very attractive, like, space model. and it's something unique. You know, we've had landers, we've had space shuttles, we've had rockets, but we've never had like a Icons level, you know, entire launch system. So that in itself is great. Yeah.
It's important to bear in mind that if you were to, you know, there were a number of very good gantry systems for the Saturn V that had been designed and that you could purchase instructions for and rebrickable. But then when you
Those things are not cheap as well.
No, but when you then went and built it, it became another 6,000, you know, a multi-thousand-dollar exercise.
Yeah.
So from and again, that's
mostly an issue with scale. So that's why the rocket is scaled down.
Makes it far more achievable to be able to to be able to do everything else with it if you know, you just rein it in a little bit.
So is it a bad set? No, it's actually a really good set. It's a really nice model, and it's a Lego Icon space set. So there's a lot to like there. But yeah, it's just the little things that kind of make it not a really easy set to recommend at that price.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see how that goes over the next half of the month. And we're starting to see images appear for the second half year releases.
More exciting than Star Wars Day, I think. New release day.
Yeah. Well, look, I think
for June,
Star Wars was interesting. There's certainly a few of those new sets that I find are very appealing. The Phantom Menace brickheads look terrific. The midi scale sets, I think they're great looking sets. And yeah, TIE Interceptor, long overdue. Good to see it again after 25 years.
Yep.
But they're not all sets that whack it out of the park, which is perhaps an opportunity missed. For 2025, for 2024 rather, is the 25th anniversary of Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, look, it's gonna be a big year, and yeah, we're only in May, so I still think there's a lot more to come. Yeah.
What else have we seen? We've seen some Marvel. I'll have to admit, another Milano and another Dancing Groot. If you missed them, great. That's about all I can say.
Yeah. Do you remember when you used to like a band or an artist, and you know, they would have really genre defining albums, and then when they got old, they just started to just release like the greatest hits albums every Christmas.
Yep.
This feels like the greatest hits of the Infinity Saga, almost.
Yeah. That's okay. I think harking back to the Infinity Saga, there are far worse things you could do with Marvel Cinematic Universe sets.
Yeah, look, the new like detailed Milano. So that's a really huge ship. It's also the 10th anniversary of Guardians of the Galaxy. So I can see why they timed it as such. And like I have a very special place in my heart for the Milano, so I'm definitely going to pick it up. And it's great to get, you know, such an iconic ship at this scale. So again, I have to get it. It's going to look great next to like the Benatar, which is at a similar scale. But
yeah,
I mean, it's I feel like Lego Marvel is stuck in a bit of a like just stuck in a particular era.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, in recent years, we've had themes like City, Friends, even Harry Potter go through very significant reboots or, refreshes. Even Harry Potter, which is based on the Warner Brothers films, like the new sets that have been revealed, the sets that we've gotten this year have felt fresh. Even though they're still revisiting many of the same places and characters, but they're mixing it up a little, and they're trying fun things like a buildable sorting hat or buildable Dobby, or
and
you know, a buildable Mandrake,
microscale Quidditch pitch, and
like a architecture-esque Hogwarts castle and grounds, for example. Mm. There's interesting things that are happening around the theme, whereas like for Marvel, it's
from Phase 5.
Pretty much. But again, like that's the issue with license sets or themes, is that in a lot of ways, the IP partner, in this case, Disney or Marvel, would have a lot to say and have a lot of influence over what products get produced. So
yeah.
I feel like I would love to see, because Marvel is such a fun IP. You have really iconic characters, larger than life, characters brought to life on screens and some of the biggest blockbusters ever. And I would like to see just a lot more fun to be had. Like for example, the Bro Tour set, for example, that was a very out there set, but it's still a very memorable and a very fun set. So I don't know. I would like to, I think it's way overdue for Lego Marvel to get a bit of a refresh in terms of how they approach sets and how they approach bringing moments or characters or scenes from the Infinity Saga to life. I don't know. Yeah, that's just me.
We'll see how that goes, we can't deny the fact that on the whole, Lego Marvel have been getting a better run than Lego DC have had for the last few years.
Yes, but look,
I'm delighted to see the animated series.
But DC had a bit of fun with it. Like the movie tie-in sets aside, I feel like some of the Lego Batman or Lego DC sets still had that, sense of fun. Like we had that Batman Ultra Agents truck, for example. Yeah.
With the yellow windscreen, especially for the space fans.
Exactly. And, Batman in his, various bat vehicles. No, a lot of fun.
Yeah, anyway. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Definitely picking up the Milano. That's very looking forward to that, but don't know where to put it.
The struggle is real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. We've got our first look from some of the retailers today of the city sets as well. They've sort of been rumoured for a while, but there are a couple of things there that I think are quite exciting with this second half year's range. I was surprised that we have no more releases revealed at this point of the in the city space range that we've had in the front half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. We've sort of had everything you need for a space theme there pretty well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But who'd have thought that there was going to be an ExoForce roller coaster?
Not me, not in 2024.
Or failing that, a roller coaster that is built around a large mech, which does have livery equivalent to those seen with one of the ExoForce models back in the day.
Yes, please. It looks exactly alike. That's clearly just a stealth hunter.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm definitely all for that. Look,
and
City is, City had their big, again, speaking of refreshes, City had their big refresh, I would say, a year and a half ago.
Yep, start of last year for sure.
Yeah, this time last year. So we're a year in, and we're seeing a lot of very refined concepts. Like there are a lot of interesting things happening in Lego City. There's a great looking double decker bus. There's a great looking tram. The tram is really good looking. Featuring some really forward thinking designs, like very playful designs that riff on real world vehicles, but have a very Lego City design language to them.
Yeah, and while it's a sort of six-wide vehicle, it looks far more like a light rail than a train.
Yeah, that looks really good. There's a great car transporter with some of the best non-Speed Champions cars in it. That looks really fun. Yeah, there's a lot to like. Not a lot of buildings. I don't think we've seen or we're seeing everything yet because there's a distinct lack of buildings, but the car stuff is great. We have some really good looking construction vehicles, the crane.
That sort of plays on, that continues on what we saw in the second half last year.
Yeah. Technic couldn't dream of getting a crane that looks as good as that. And you know, it's got functions in it as well. Yeah, that looks great.
It looks great. And then there's the other thing that's dominating the other half of, so City this half of the year has got the stuff around town, but then we've got, as is the case, we've had sort of an adventure type theme in the second half of the year, and this year we've had two because we had space as well. But we've got, I'm going to call it World Explorers now. Last year we'd have called it Deep Sea or Arctic Explorers, but they've got exactly the same colour banding as we saw last year, the dark blue, orange, medium azure and white, and they look pretty cool. But most importantly, rather than having them all running around in the same jumpsuits, Johnny Thunder's back.
Yeah, is that Johnny or is he a descendant?
Well, they've not clearly said, but
we don't know. Is he a copycat? We don't know.
The torso, what I'll say is that the torso is Johnny Thunder without a pistol tucked in his belt. He's got the cravat. He's got the sideburns. He doesn't have the slouch hat.
And no.
That's about the only significant difference.
Yep.
So I'm quite excited to see him returning.
Very, very exciting. And, I think that's
Great animals coming out in this wave as well, from the red panda, a family of gorillas, a family of crocodiles. I'm sure there's more that I've just can't remember off the top of my head. Oh, and a new tiger.
There's a new tiger.
Yeah, a new tiger in reddish orange.
Yep.
Which is really just looks like it's the perfect use of that colour. So
yeah, and this tiger is a lot fluffier as well. It's got some hair details.
So quite excited to see all of those. Mm-hmm. And look, about vehicles, about houses, buildings rather, the last couple of years have been the exception rather than the rule for buildings in LEGO City.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen five houses in the last, five residential buildings in the last decade in LEGO City. Mm-hmm. And three of them came out last year,
mm-hmm.
or two of them did anyway. But Creator 3-in-1 has been
the home of,
you know, this. It's generally pretty reliable that there'll be some sort of a house in Creator 3-in-1. We haven't seen any revealed at this point in time.
There is. I haven't posted about it yet, but there is a modern. There's a Creator 3-in-1 dinosaur, which is like a slightly larger version of the.
They have officially been displayed. Okay, so yes, there is a larger than the previous multi dinosaur, and yes, there's that modern house as well, and that looks really cool. That just arrived on my doorstep the other day, so.
Ah, there you go. It looks like the house looks pretty good. It's they've beaten the Edward Cullen Twilight House to the punch for a modern looking house.
They've set the bar, but also I think it's like the we've seen this a lot in other themes this year. Like for example, the large scale icons Technic. Formula One car, and then we then see the scaled down pullback version of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, there's now also a Speed Champions version as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's building the same thing in multiple scales is becoming a not uncommon thing. So, so that's all fine and good. And, you know, it sets the bar for where they can start working on the Edward Cullen house.
Yep.
Years from Twilight.
Yeah. Going back to City,
yeah.
You notice that there's not a single police or fire set. I'm not sure if it hasn't been released yet.
That's because there were 12 sets in the first half of the year.
Okay.
I'm chipping my way through the fire.
It still feels weird. I'm like, do I have to call someone? Because, yeah.
Okay, so these are the other great space sets of 2024. The Fire Brigade, they've So a couple of years ago, we saw the introduction of Vibrant Yellow, this mm-hmm. new burn your eyes shade of yellow, and
floral, like a
yeah. But look,
like a highlighter.
Yeah, highlighter yellow. But look, I've been matching it up with equivalent pieces of transparent neon green and putting it under UV light together side by side, and they are, for all intents and purposes, the same hue. Now, the first couple of years in City, there were these ridiculously large blocks of it, particularly on the fire vehicles. Mm-hmm. Last year, we also saw it on roofs and bonnets.
Mm.
But this year, it's like it's been reduced to like a single plate-thick line
mm-hmm.
along a number of the vehicles, as well as like the hazard marking tiles. They'd be cautious mm-hmm. going in and out of the garages on the fire station. Now, the fire station, as I think they've got the colour blocking, it just looks so smooth across all of the fire range, especially this year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've sort of got this red, black and grey, vibrant yellow. It just looks so much like M-tron as a colour scheme. There's just this little block of blue in each of them, which sort of represents the water tanks that spoils that. But compared to the fire engines of the last 20 years, it just looks so tidy. There's no unnecessary greebles. There's consistent colouring. So rather than having black and white attachments, they're all black.
Mm-hmm.
The wheel hubs are black. So the whole thing just looks like a big red thing on wheels with a fluorescent yellow line through. Now, Police exists as well this year. We've got a Prison Break Island that was released back in January.
Yep.
And a couple of other police vehicles, like there's a V8 versus police car chase set.
Yeah.
And police have gone for a black, dark blue, white and vibrant yellow colour scheme.
Yeah, I was looking forward to maybe a bit more of those.
Well, I've just got one word for you there, Jay.
Yeah?
Unitron. Fire, it's M-tron colouring. As yeah. close as you're going to get in the absence of neon green, which has now been discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
The police, Unitron, dark blue,
mm-hmm.
white, black, neon, greeny, yellow, and Rock Raiders. So there's also an emergency helicopter, and it's sort of a similar sort of colour scheme to last year's, or to an ambulance that we've seen this year and another one last year where it's blocked in black, white, teal, and vibrant yellow. So the black and vibrant yellow and teal make it look like the Rock Raiders colour combination, which was sort of black and greys,
mm-hmm.
teal, yellow, and neon green. So it's like all of City, the first half of the year has been making a call out to space. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half of the year this year, we've got some regular town. But don't worry, police and fire haven't been forgotten this year. There have been lots of sets. There were about, there was a police bike, there's a police helicopter, a police 4x4. Yeah, they all just look really cool.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see in this new era of Lego City what a city police station will look like. Because we've
I'm excited for next year from that point of view, because I think the fire station this year is such a dramatic departure from, you know, on the whole, fire stations have looked the same for the last 20 years-ish, mm-hmm. ever since they first appeared in Lego City. But even then, they've been pretty similar to what they've been,
what
they were in town for the previous.
You can expect a blocky design, garage doors, a helicopter. Sometimes a helicopter, yeah.
Yeah, but this year we've had the prison break, and so that's – and there's a boat as well, but that's sort of got the same sort of colour scheme.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think we'll probably – I'm suspecting we're going to be looking at getting a police station probably in the first half of next year. And, yeah, I think it is exciting to think about how that may look.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so we had 5 police this year. Oh, yeah, we had another bat truck, you know, the mobile crime lab, which, again, went the same with all that same colour scheme.
Mm.
And, the prison island, again,
follows that sort of colour scheme, but also some dark orange because it's a prison. So I think you're safe. I don't think we've got anything to worry about not seeing police, Jay, but they might just be a little while before they come back.
Hopefully.
I think the last couple of years they got a bit carried away. I found that the colouring, I think, of police last year was a little bit of a challenge. But, yeah, looking forward to see how it goes going forward. Yeah, last year it was much more a little bit of black, mostly bright blue with the neon blue line through it. But I think that this year's colour scheme has got so much more potential. It'll just look really schmick when they start to roll it out through a few more vehicles.
Cool.
I may not have thought too much about that.
Nah, I think it's someone has to think about that. Someone has to.
And what else have we got coming up? Lego Friends?
I think we'll close off this episode. There's a lot more. There's like Harry Potter. There's the Monkey Kid. We'll have to talk about Monkey Kid in the next episode.
Excellent. I might have had a chance to. I might be able to talk about some of the Monkey Kid with the next episode.
Oh, I can't wait. Those look good. Anyway, Friends. Yeah. So Friends is quite suitably for a summer wave. Well, summer in the Northern Hemisphere. Friends are, you know, heading out of Heart Lake City and heading out into adventure camp.
As so many people do around the world when summertime comes.
Exactly. It's a fun twist because we've had sort of like summer camp type sets in the past for Lego Friends, and we've also had a sort of a jungle slash wilderness exploration, and this one seems to like meld the both of them together. There's a really big like treehouse, which looks great. It has lots of fun, you know, activities to do. There's a like a water sports type, you know, building as well.
Water park, yeah.
Yeah, it looks fun, and yeah, it's nice to see what this new era of Friends looks like outside of Heart Lake City.
Mm.
So we're starting to see some of that. We have a few beach sets. You know, beach sets are always a staple of Lego Friends.
They are.
And for us older builders and boys and girls that want a slightly more challenging build, we have another slightly complex, you know, slightly more complex set in the form of a castle B&B. So Lego Friends is on a mission. They are trying to take on, I would say, like designs or topics that are outside of, you know, their usual, you know, sphere of Heart Lake City. So as an example, we've had some fantastic space sets for Friends, like with the rover that just came out.
Yep. Andrea's Mansion, the Botanic Andrea's Garden. Mansion
for modern architecture, you know, almost taking on like a modular type build in a sense. And now we have Lego Friends taking on a castle set, well, or a medieval set with a castle bed and breakfast, which is really cute. But if you look at it very closely, it has some really solid Lego castle, or, you know, modern Lego castle DNA.
It brings us some of those colors that we've seen in Princess Peach's sets, particularly in red and white, but we're going to see those in sort of like a medium blue and gray. So I think that's quite exciting. Tangent. I've been wondering, and I know there'd been some speculation, this year's been a year for space as a tentpole. Would we see it possible as being able to do it for other themes in the same way that we've seen it done for space? I don't think we could, because you can't necessarily make castle work quite as smoothly in a Lego City or Friends context, or Technic for that matter. No, Trebuchet. Forget I said that. Trebuchet.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We will. Yeah, just so many good things from that point of view. And indeed, that trend for a few more sets for older kids, so that 12 to 14 year old. So we've sort of had a couple of those now over the last year or so in Friends, and we've seen them also appearing in Ninjago as well, like the Dragonstone Shrine, for example. That was another 14 or 12 plus set that was sort of, these are sets that are designed to try and keep those kids that are about to grow up and grow out of playing with Lego. It's just trying to keep them in for that little bit longer, let them know that, yeah, there's something here for you before you get to the complete budget-breaking effect of the Icons range.
So, yeah, that's I guess, part one of our June or, like, June, August, summer 2024 previews. It's going to be June in no time. So
don't tell me that. I'm going away in June.
That's exciting.
I'm not ready.
You'll be ready. It is a lot of fun. I had a great holiday, so I think you will too.
It's the pre-departure reviews that I've got to get done.
It's all right. Lego can wait.
It can. Although I'm going over there for Japan Brickfest, so,
exciting.
That will be exciting. Absolutely. All right. Well, there we are. We hope that you're all enjoying the start of May. We'd love to hear about how, if you've embraced the May the 4th excitement, if Star Wars has gone your way, or if you've been waiting for other things to manifest. We love to get your feedback at extrapiecespod@gmail.com. Otherwise, if you've enjoyed this episode, share it with your communities, with your Lego loving friends, and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and Spotify. It helps people to be able to find us. But otherwise, until next time, I'm Richard from The Rambling Brick.
And I'm Jay from Jay's Brick Blog.
And I don't have any extra pieces.
I have. I'm ready to go. Right. These are the extra pieces.
Thank heavens. Yes, well, I'm currently in a hotel room in Brisbane, which is why I don't have any extra pieces, but that's just me. See you next time, folks.
See ya.
You have been listening to Extra Pieces, a collaboration between Jay's Brick Blog and The Rambling Brick. Your hosts are Jay Ong and Richard Jones. The show is written and produced by Jay Ong and Richard Jones, with audio engineering by Frederick French Pounce. Extra Pieces can be found through your favourite podcasting platforms. Please like and subscribe, and if you like what you hear, please consider giving us a solid 5-star review so that others can find us and share the joy. Some sets discussed on the Extra Pieces podcast are provided by the LEGO Group for review purposes, but all opinions are our own.